My name's David. I'm married to Alison, and we're the pastors here at the Vineyard. And you're very welcome. I understand they relaxed the border controls this morning and let some people in from Lancashire. And our friends from Blackburn Vineyard have come to visit. So, okay, impress, please. Behave well. Give them your coffee and your chocolate. Have powerful words of knowledge for them. You're very welcome. It's great to see you. And if you're visiting, you're a guest here, we'd love to see you. I hope that this morning's a milestone in your journey, wherever you are, right at the who is there a God question through to how do I learn to pray for the sick. We're on the final today. I'm in the last of three talks I want to give about how we feel God's set us up to move towards Headingley. And I'm excited about all of it. But I'm particularly excited about what I want to say to you today because it sort of stretches our faith a bit for the future and for what we've been called to do. And I want to talk about, I talked about why Headingley and a bit of the story about why that's become our sort of target in terms of where we base ourselves. And then I talked last week about making it a home. We make a home wherever we are, but about making Headingley our home and how we want to have somewhere where we can say, come and meet my friend, Jesus, in the same way that we might say, come home and meet my family. And that's a place that's safe and that we are able to do that, and it's a good place for them to come. Today, I want to turn our attention outwards, and instead of saying, come and see, I want to talk about go and tell. I want to open our eyes to what perhaps God's calling us to do in Leeds. From a base in Headingley, what making Headingley a hub for activity in Leeds. First of all, we're going to look at a letter written by the famous Judean prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. So if you want to grab a Bible, if you brought one with you, or there's Bibles on these tables, and find Jeremiah 29. In my Bible, it's about three-fifths of the way through, okay? If you go to Psalms and turn right, you'll eventually get to Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah was a prophet based in Jerusalem, and he was prophesying about the fact that a lot of the Jews, the Israelites, had been exiled to Babylon, a different world. It was like going to the moon, hundreds of miles away, different culture, different society. They'd lost all their identity and their security, and they were in Babylon. Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem with the remnant, with a puppet governor, and he was prophesying about what was going on in Babylon. And this is a letter that he sent. Jeremiah 29, verses 5 to 14. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, and find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. The lies that they were prophesying was that this is temporary and you're about to come back and God's going to rescue you tomorrow. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. He's speaking from Jerusalem, remember. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. It's a familiar passage to many of us, and there's lots and lots of stuff in there about purpose and calling and God's plan for our lives. When the Israelites in Babylon were sort of circled their wagons and were sort of discussing over the campfire, what are we going to do? What's happening here? And the people in Jerusalem were looking at the predicament from the point of view of the puppet governor and his remnant. They were humiliated. They'd been defeated in battle. Their identity had been taken away. They'd been effectively ethnically cleansed to a different country. Humiliated by the turn of events, dawning on them that God had finally done what he promised he would do. When he said, if you don't obey me, I will punish you. And he had, exiled them. And on Israelite Twitter at the time, the trending themes were all about how the Babylonians and Mission Impossible was going to happen, and they were going to be rescued and brought out and restored to Jerusalem. But this true message from Jeremiah was, no, that's not going to happen. You have been beaten in battle, and you are stuck in Babylon. Prepare for a lengthy stay. And the bit I want to think about today is that he went further than that, and he said, I don't just want you to put up with the fact that you're going to be there for the next 70 years. I want you to bless Babylon. Instead of treating it as enemy territory, as a surface of the moon waiting to get back, I want you to make it home. Let's pray. Lord, I'd ask you to help us to understand what you're saying to us today from these words written a long time ago, and how we as a community of faith should operate and what our expectations should be. Would you come in power and do your stuff through us today? And I pray that these words will help us understand our role and our purpose a bit better. In Jesus' name, amen. So looking at a slightly different version of one of those verses, verse 7, it says, make yourselves at home and work for the country's welfare. In the other translation, it read success. And the word success or welfare or peace are all used in different translations of this passage. And they all come from the root word of shalom, a Jewish word, a Hebrew word, shalom. And this describes what it's like when we all have a home and a job, and good health, and we're in safe community relationships, and things are okay, and everyone's at peace. That's what it means by shalom. It's a big word. It's a word of substance describing that situation, and it's what all politicians always want to go for. That's what they're aiming for. We think of it in terms of the kingdom of God, when God is at home. This is what we're to work for. So it's not just a home, as I was talking about last week. It's also a hub, it's a base from which to work for the prosperity, for the success, for the blessing of, for the welfare, for the shalom of the city. Within this message, there's another message actually. Verse 14, also in the Message translation, says this, I will bring you back from the countries into which I drove you. They are not just people in exile from one city to another, but there are people in exile from their heavenly home to their earthly home. The language here resonates with, if you read Genesis 2 and the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, when God says, what have you done? And then he banishes them from the garden, sends them out. And this is like the mirror of that, I will bring you back. Our gospel story is the mission of God to bring us back. And by now, where we are, he has done what is needed for that to happen one day. He has won the battle. The war technically is over. We're in the last stages of wrapping it up. The price has been paid to set us free. And the time will come when we're all called to a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, in this sense, we're living in a foreign land. So there's two messages going on, one on top of the other, in this passage. And 2,500 years ago, when Jeremiah wrote this, I don't think he realized, but it applies to us today in Leeds. Whilst we're here waiting for that time for him to take us home, I think this is what the Lord is telling us, that we are to make ourselves at home in Leeds and work for its success. Let me just unpack the attitude thing a little. This may not apply to you, but I think there's a tendency in us to see this slightly wrong. One way is to think of ourselves as missionaries. I come from missionary stock, and the missionaries here in the room, and I think the work of a missionary is great and essential. And I guess it's possible that there are missionaries in this room who have been sent to Leeds to do mission. But excluding that, my challenge is to those of you who aren't here on that basis, but are thinking as though you were. You're thinking of yourself as a missionary in a foreign land in Leeds, especially the ones from Lancashire. I know some of you are only here for a while, some of you have got a contract and you're working in Leeds for a year and then you'll be moving on, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing that at all. But whatever your purpose for being here, I believe God has put you here for a purpose, for the time that you are here. The exiles weren't sent to Babylon as missionaries. They had no choice. They were forcibly relocated. They weren't being funded from Jerusalem and sending home prayer letters. Help letters, but not prayer letters. So for the time you are in Leeds, settle. Make yourself a home and pray and work for the welfare of the city. And obviously, if you come from a different city, this, I think the message is to that, whichever city you're in. So that's one sort of slight attitude thing, which I think can cause a problem in the way we think about what we're doing here. And if you think it through, you can sort of begin to think about the way coming as a missionary is different from coming when you make it your home. Second thing is, when we think of it as a waiting room, and this sort of comes a bit more out of that second meaning I was alluding to when I was talking earlier. Because in the vineyard, we talk about living in the now and the not yet. So that we're here, but we're waiting for there. And when Jesus prayed and taught us to pray, he said, on earth as in heaven. And there's this link between we want what's in heaven and we're meant to make it happen on earth. And we're in that now and not yet. We're there and we're not there yet. We do experience his kingdom, heaven on earth today. We know we only see in part what one day we'll see in full. We hear an echo of a song which one day we'll sing with a choir of millions. When we watch the Paralympics, we get a glimpse of the core of how wonderful humanity is and the beauty of it. But we look forward to the day when we all have new bodies and are running on a new earth. The exiles, though, were not plonked in a waiting room, you know, with a Kindle to read and told to kill time until they would go home, waiting for the train. The temptation is to treat our stay here like sitting in a waiting room, waiting for the train to arrive. We'll put up with the imperfections in our city and stay closeted with our friends and read a good book. That's a temptation to think like that. The missionary approach is a temptation. The waiting room is a temptation. So what are we to do if those aren't the right attitudes? The right attitude is to settle. It uses that word several times, settle. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Get married, have sons and daughters. God's invitation to you is to settle down. Make Leeds your home and pray for the city. Get a job, get involved, make an impact in the city for God through the way you work, through the way you live. Build a family here. Identify needs and go about sorting them out. Bring blessing on Babylon. Instead of moaning about how dangerous it is or how much alcohol is drunk in the city center or how high the council tax is or how badly Leeds United are doing, let's become the best salesman this city's got. speaking well of the city, finding something to be proud of, discerning what God is doing and celebrating it. I'm not directing your career, I'm not providing a location service. I'm just saying that if God has placed you here, until he takes you away, settle down. So, where am I going with this? Well, let's think about Leeds a minute. Leeds is a big city. It's the fourth largest conurbation in the UK. It's the third largest city with 812,339 people as of the last census. The third largest city, and it's the second largest metropolitan district after Birmingham. It has as many people over 60 as under 16, but there is a higher proportion of young people than the national average, including a very large student population. It's a diverse city, probably the most diverse city outside of London, with many cultures, languages, races, and faiths. I'm taking this from the council information, census information. Despite 25 years of economic success, it also ranks poorly in terms of inequality and ingrained deprivation. Now, deprivation and inequality occur much more in big cities. It's a factor of a large city. Nevertheless, Leeds is managing its problems relatively well. Out of the eight core cities, we're second best on most of the measures. But it's a big city, and therefore, there are some really deprived areas within it. And many of you are working and ministering in those areas. Last year, as I mentioned at the beginning of this year, Leeds launched a vision for the next, to take us through to 2030. It was this: to be the best city in the UK. To be the best city in the UK. This is how Tom Rawdon, who's the chief executive of the city, describes that. He says this: we are setting ourselves a challenge to be the best city in the country, not the richest or the biggest, but the best for all who live and work in Leeds, our children, our communities and our businesses, a place where everyone can enjoy a good quality of life. I don't see anything there that doesn't resonate with what we would want. When the kingdom comes, that's what it's like. It's a place for all our children and our communities and our businesses to be really good, where everyone can enjoy a good quality of life. Not the richest, not the biggest. Okay, so assuming that we buy into that, and I do, what can we do as a community of faith to play our part? What can the Vineyard do to make Leeds the best city in the UK? And I don't really care. On a comparative basis, what I'm bothered about is it gets to be a really good place. Well, that's what I mean by building a hub. It means making a home, which is what we talked about last week, which then equips and supports us as we do things. That's what I mean by a hub. There's a home and a base which equips and supports us to go and do stuff. Let me just think through a few things. We talked before about walking across the room. So I want our home to be somewhere that equips you and encourages you and inspires you to, when you're not in here, to walk across the room at work, across the room, across the street to your neighbor, to smile, to make a cup of tea, to pick somebody up who's fallen, to pray for somebody who's ill. And when given the choice, opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. I've been at a couple of parties over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, which probably explains why I'm looking like I'm looking. Which very good parties, too good, really. But I talked to a few non-Christians a couple last night in particular, who are ardent atheists. And this always happens to me. At some point in a conversation, you end up, and what do you do? And I have to try and figure out a way of saying this without them immediately putting me in a box. The lady I was speaking to last night said, "You should be wearing a dog collar. You should warn people that you're coming." And then she said to me later on, she said, "You're going to use that tomorrow, aren't you?" But because I can say that, it does open a discussion or close it down completely, but at least it doesn't give me many choices. You don't have that so often. So what are you going to do to, as you walk across the room, to begin to let people know who you are? I'm not going to answer that question. You can answer it. More than that, I want the people of the Vineyard to go out and to those of you who are bosses, who run businesses and run departments, I want you to be the best bosses in the city. So I want what happens here to train you, to equip you, to practically and emotionally and spiritually to make you really good at being a boss. Those of you who got jobs, I want you to be the best employees that organization's ever had. Because of the way you're equipped here and the way God empowers you to live your life like that. For those of you students, I want you to be able to study really well as party. Because you're equipped, you're sent out. This is a hub for equipping people to be good students, for parents to be great parents, for people who work in the community to do a really good job of working in the community. Do you see where I'm coming from? On a more organized basis, we run what we call Reach Out. That's our sort of headline for it, which are sort of practical things we do in the community. So that can range from giving somebody a donut as they go into the fireworks on Rande Park on Bonfire Night, through to joining a team to fix somebody's house, through to joining with Beryl and her team going out down into Leeds on a Saturday afternoon to morning to take sandwiches and hot drinks and to befriend the homeless and to pray for them. Or you might be joining with Jerry and Pauline as they go and pray for people on the streets and the marketplace and have that stall. Lots of different things. I mean, we've got a big portfolio of activity. Things that we can train and equip and resource and put money and people behind so that it acts as a hub out into the city to make it a better place, make it the best city it can be. We have a more formal structure, which we call The Vine, which is a separate charity and which is tasked with building bridges into the community. So at the moment we've got two major bridges. One is the Debt Advice Center and the other is the Child Contact Center for broken families. Building strong bridges into the community, making Leeds a better place. And we've got more exciting things up our sleeves on that one. On a sort of more devotional level, we want to support house groups all around the city, from Osmondthorpe to Horsforth and everywhere in between. House groups, small groups, those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, small groups meeting in people's homes to pray, to worship, to know and be known, to find a place where you can be looked after, where you can look after others, where you can grow. Really important, the heart of our church life, our community life here. I'd love to see more and more house groups all over the city. And I'd love to see some of those. We haven't got to this yet, but one of the part of the vision for this is that we see the house groups, maybe two or three house groups emerge in the city center. And then they form a congregation, and they begin to do things just as a group for the city center, as well as being resourced and equipped and part of the hub, if you like. And then another one in East Leeds, and then... Oh, and who knows, those may end up, somebody may emerge who wants to plant a church into Pudsey. And we send them out, instead of to Sheffield or Harrogate, we send them just a few miles down the road, having got maybe a house group or two or three established, and we release that and we act as a hub in the middle to be able to pay for and to support and to resource house groups, maybe congregations, maybe churches all around the city. It's one of the reasons when we announced Headingley, some people said to me, why are you going into a nice area? Why don't you go into a rough area, one of the deprived areas? And that's partly because my job, I'm good at what I do, and what I do is build things and make things happen, and I can do that better in Headingley. I can get more resources together, more equipment, more people together, and then I can resource things elsewhere where people who are better at it can do it. Okay, I'm just sort of rabbiting on really, trying to describe a bit about what I think this means when we say, come and see and meet my friend and let's build a home here and then let's go and tell and be a hub for the city and to make the city of Leeds the best city in the country. We come and see and then we go and tell. I made sense. I haven't had a chance to run this by anybody. But I think I know what I mean. Does this just nod if you either you want me to stop or you think you're agreeing. You understand what I'm saying.
It sounds great. You've explained it well.
Thank you, Beryl. You can stay. Okay. Right, I'm coming into land. The thing is, we have a secret weapon. Don't tell anybody. We've got a secret weapon. I believe that there's actually only one way to transform our city, to really bless Babylon. We have a secret weapon. The way to make Leeds the best city in the country is for the people of Leeds to meet Jesus. And I'm sorry for Tom, but it's not going to happen any other way. Jesus has the love and the mercy the people we crave. He has the power to forgive and heal. Only he can transform a city of 800,000 people. So, we do all those things I've been describing. We become the best citizens in the city. But as we pray, as we, in our actions, when we have the chance to share our testimony, we will bring people a kingdom message. God loves them. Jesus died for them. The Holy Spirit can fill and empower them. And their lives can be transformed. There are hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people walking the streets of Leeds, listening out for the music of the kingdom. They're not sure what the tune is, but deep within their souls, they're waiting for a salvation song. We've heard this song, not in its completeness, but we've heard enough to want to listen to it again and again. And our mission is to play this tune for the people of Leeds through the way we live our lives, through our testimony. Some of you have only just begun this journey. You, to mix my metaphors, you've only just heard the tune and you want more. Some of you are a long way down that road, and mixing my metaphor consistently, you're familiar with the tune and you've begun to sing it for other people. Making a home and building a hub are two parts of this. We make a home and we say, come and see, meet my friend, meet my friends. And then we say, we send people out as a hub and we say, go and tell. Let me pray. Lord, we believe that you have placed us in Leeds for a purpose, to see your kingdom come here and to play our part in it. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and equip us. Right now, Lord, I ask you to come and equip us. Show each person in this room one extra way that they can become a better citizen of Leeds. One extra way in which they can sing the tune of the kingdom.